You know, many times I wear my emotion on my sleeve, talking about Jesus. I thank Cassie and Rose and all the singers with those two songs. The goodness of God. This is Amazing Grace. What struck me with Jesus is that he knew everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet still, he chose to die for us. These are the things that rip me apart. Other people says they know things about you, they separate themselves from you. Jesus knows all of your dirt and my dirt, and he runs to us. Isn't that amazing? This is amazing grace. Anyhow, this morning, at 80 years old, you guys have to put up with some of my slow reading. The eyes are growing dim. I went to the doctor. My eye keep running a lot of water. And the doctor says to me, I went to him, he says, "You have dry eyes." I said, "What do you mean they're dry? They're dripping water." So my wife, who is a nurse, he gave him some lotion to drop in the eye, and there's absolutely no way I'm going to be able to do that because I'm scared to put anything in my eyes. So she's been doing that. So if you see I'm a little slow reading, forgive me because of my dry eyes. A lot of us as Christians, we do not understand when the Word of God says, "Let the mind of Christ be in us." We really don't understand that scripture because when the Word of God says, "Let the mind of Christ be in you and I," you have to look totally of what happens to Jesus before you can really understand what it is saying. How many of us would like to be stripped naked and beat, spit upon, curse out, for people who do not like us? How many of us would do that? And this is what it is saying. The mind of Christ. That was the Father's will, to do this to his Son. So this morning, we are going to look into John chapter 4. Pastor Gary helped me prepare these. I had my own, way back 60s preaching habit, where I just look, you know, preaching from 1968. That's when I start preaching. And I generally do not have anything to click up there. So, I know they're taking care of me. Yeah. Because they can't leave me to do that. Can't trust me to do that. I'll mess up. But what I'm saying is that I always just turn my pages and people follow the pages. Well, we have a different system now. And at 80 years old, I'm not too much trying to learn the system. Because I'm a slow learner right now. I thank the Lord every morning when I get up to just walk off my bed. Because my brain says to me, "Guy, get up," and my body says to me, "Lay down." That's what happened now at 80. So I thank the Lord just to be here walking, talking, eating, drinking. I've visited a lot of people. You guys don't understand the blessing of the Lord. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ is a person you're going to love, you're going to do everything within your power to serve him. You're going to count yourself last. Because as far as I'm concerned, my life belongs to God. Until the day he calls me home, I'm going to serve him. I love him. I said that to my wife. I was eating at the table. I said to her, I love the Lord. And I do. I love the Lord. So we as Christians, what we do, we generally try to avoid the messy and the disgraceful situations. We run away from that and run away from people in that category. Because really, we do not understand why Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. We say we do, but we do not. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he says to his disciple, all authority is given to me. Go to the end of the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you to the end of the world. And we draw a line here. Oh, I don't want them to see me around these people. But if you continue to read, as we are reading here in John chapter 4, it says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now, they heard that Jesus is doing a greater work than John. The Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees are the people who claim that they know God, and they are the one who's supposed to be teaching others about God, but they are more a divider than a uniter. Because when Jesus starts to preach, they zero in on him, trying to destroy him. But now Jesus says, I am leaving from Judea and I'm going to Samaria. Now Samaria is like Camden and Philadelphia. Willingboro, Camden, Philadelphia. That's how Samaria was situated. It was in between Judea and Galilee. Other people are other Pharisees. They go around Samaria. Because some of the worst sinners that you had were living in Samaria. That's where they were living. But if you notice, the scripture says Jesus needs to go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? He had to go through Samaria because there were so many rejected, sinful people there. I want you to keep this in your mind as I preach this morning. Three scriptures, which is very important, that every day you should get up and you should keep these scriptures embedded in your heart and in your mind, that you can properly wake up with the right attitude to serve God and others. The first scripture that I want to give you is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 through 10. God says, my heart, your heart, is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. God said it. So you can pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a good person. God says, no, your heart, my heart, it's wicked. That's what he said in his word. The next scripture I want to give to you is that God says in Romans chapter 3, it says 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when you read these scriptures, you see where everyone fits in. You may say, I'm better than this person, I'm better than this person, I'm better than this person. But no, God says all of us are in the same boat. And all of us are going to face him one day. And when we face him, he's going to say to you and to me, what have you done with the blood of my son? He's not going to ask you, where did you go, what you eat, where you drink, who you associate with. He's going to look and says, what have you done with the cleansing that I prepare for you to cleanse your heart? Remember, he says, your heart, my heart, it's wicked. And the only cleansing for your heart and my heart is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he died. That was why he died. Then he says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he said the wages of sin is death. So if you notice, you work for death. You have to work. The wages for sin is death. That's your payoff. And Jesus says, when we all stood before God, and God says, these people are hopeless. I'm 100% perfect. They're 100% imperfect. The only person that could come forward to die for mankind, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the only person who could relieve us from sin. You know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, he gave us a command. And the command that he gave to you and the command that he gave to me, he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He didn't say get your neighbor perfect. He didn't say get your husband perfect. He didn't say get your wife perfect. He said, you must be perfect. He said, I must be perfect. How do we achieve perfection? We achieve perfection by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And when he comes in and lives inside of us, then he declares us perfect before God, and we are up in heavenly places sitting with Christ Jesus. That's what he asks us to do. So now Jesus saw the need of the sinful woman, and he says he must go through Samaria. As I said to you, we avoid going through Samaria in our community, but Jesus must go through Samaria. Why are you going through Samaria, Jesus? Because there is a sinful woman there who cannot help herself. Everyone scorn her, and I am the one who is going to make her somebody to stand in her community that people can listen to. So he went there and he met the woman. When he met the woman, you see this woman, she had a chip on her shoulder. Her self-esteem is down in the gutter. She went to the pool or to the well at noon. That's not the normal custom. The normal custom is early morning, late afternoon. Why did she went to the pool or to the well in the morning, in the afternoon, when the sun is very hot. She went there because she did not want to meet those who scorned her. She did not want to meet those who did not want to associate themselves with her. But Jesus saw her need. And Jesus says, you don't want to meet those who reject you. You don't want to associate yourself with those who constantly beat you down. But I'm going to tell you, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you. I am coming to you. That's what I told you before. Jesus runs after sinners. Many people who call themselves Christian run away from sinners. We're supposed to fill this church out with sinners saved by grace. Amen. So Jesus says to her, give me a drink. What the woman says to him is next. You know, a lot of us hung on to these kind of saying and behavior. She says, I'm going to tell you what happened, Jesus, to cool it. Hear what happened. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. That's what I told people when I used to teach the life of Christ. I said, best for each Christian, for each person who calls themselves Christian, to take up the subject of Christology, even one course of it, which is a study of the life of Christ. Because right now, she's pulling the race card on Jesus. But notice something. Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't have time for that. You see, when you witness into a person as a Christian and you're hungry for souls, you don't worry, you don't bother to address foolish things because your race, your wealth, your education, your status, whatever it is, has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is free, given by Jesus Christ, who God sends to redeem the world. Amen. You can't pay for salvation. So Jesus didn't stop to address that. You continue reading verse 16 through. You'll see where Jesus did not address that. And if I'm going to tell you something even more tactful with Jesus, that's why I say, let this mind of Christ be in you. If you want to witness and win souls, study the Word of God. Study Jesus' life before you start witnessing. He didn't stop to address that. He stopped and he said, he didn't come to her and say, you are a worthless sinner. You have this, you have that, you did that, you did that. Because every woman in that neighborhood is scared of this woman. Because this woman already had five husbands. And the one you're sleeping with now is not your husband. But you see, Jesus didn't see all that. He saw it, but he didn't address that. He said it to her. He said, you're speaking truth when you say you have no husband. Because you had five husbands. And the one you're sleeping with now, the one who you have now, is not your husband. So think, you as a woman, have this woman come into your house with your husband. How scared you would be to leave her alone with your husband for 5 seconds. When you come back, you may not have a husband. So she told it to Jesus. She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you speak the truth. And you see, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my enemies, that's where you have to come and face up to reality to receive salvation. You have to come to God, who knows your heart, who knows my heart, and you have to tell him the truth. Own up to your sin. Don't look at the other person's sin. The word of God said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it says. And it said, those of us who are saved should go to the ends of the world. And a matter of fact, we should lay down our lives for the unsaved, the one who we toss in the trash can. Jesus says we should lay down our life for those people and bring these people to him. Amen. That's where we need to be. You know, they call me and says, people say I may talk about myself. I don't talk about myself because there's not much to talk about. I talk about Jesus. And anytime I mention Guy, I'm mentioning Guy, what Jesus did to Guy. He took Guy from the trash can and made me what I am today. If not, I would be in the grave like all my friends. So don't ever go and say, he tried to talk about himself. There's not much to talk about. You want to tell you about me? Ache and pain, sorrow. And what of you? When I talk about Jesus, I talk about joy, peace, satisfaction, love, mercy, grace. So don't you dare go around saying I'm talking about myself. If I use myself as an illustration to say what God did in my life, so if he had done it in my life, he can do the same for you. That's why I talk about me. If I do. But going back here to the scripture, she said to Jesus, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. I don't want to have any dealing with you. We have no dealing. Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus spoke to her. And he says to her, listen, stop for a second. If you know who it is talking to you, you would ask of him for living water that keeps running in your life. And you never have to drink of this water. You'll never thirst again. What it is saying, what Jesus is saying to her, he's saying to her, when you found me, or when you find me, when inside of you, when all the pain and the suffering that is going on now, it dissipates because the joy of my salvation comes in your heart, and instead of you moaning and groaning about your pain and your bills, you're singing hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying to her. Notice something as you continue in the scripture. My eye is not great, so I'm not going to try to read all of it for you. I told you, doctor says, you have dry eye. Well, I don't know why water keep running down here if it's dry. I got a fountain coming down. Notice what happens here. When she met Jesus, and Jesus told her who she was, and she owned up the fact of who she was, all the men that she was going to sleep with or trying to get. Now she go back to the men in that city and she says to them, come see a man who told me everything that I have done. Is not this the Christ? You know something? She didn't go to the woman because the woman was afraid of her. She go to the men because that's her customers. That was her customers. And all of them who was ashamed to walk with her during the day or to associate with her during the day. She said, come, follow me. I'm going to take you to this man. And I can see the line of men line up behind her going to meet Jesus. Because when they meet Jesus, they say, I don't need anything from you anymore. I see Jesus and I believe Jesus. He is the Christ. And if he is the Christ, I want him to stay with me for a while. Jesus is your solution to everything. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the Independents, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your church. Jesus is your solution to everything as a human being. I have Christ, what want I? I don't want anything more. You know, once ago I used to preach for an hour and a half. Now, at 80 years old, I see if I go too long, you may have to bring me an oxygen tank. You see, the doctor is sitting there. I ain't worried about him. The nurse and the doctor sitting there, the nurse there. So if I go too long, you may be flat on my back, and they're trying to revive me. But the bottom line that I'm trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and enemies, Jesus is the answer to our problems. And any time, don't matter who that person may be, put Jesus out of the equation, we're going to have problems. Because you heard I told you before, God says, I know your heart. God says, you're all of sin. And he said, the wage of sin is death. So tell me, apart from God, where are you going to find comfort? You know the things that I used to chase for before I got to 80? All of a sudden, these things become a problem to me now. The house, the car, the water view, when I could easily well get down and change a tire, now to change a tire is like somebody beating me with a strap. My car breaks down, I would help somebody push that car, and they would help me. Now what happens at 80 years old, and the car breaks down? I say, good luck, I'm sitting over there till I get the tow truck. So the things that you've been hoping for as a young person, when you get to my age, you try to run away from it. And if you notice what this woman did, that I would like to, when you read the scripture, notice what she did. She left her water pot. The thing that she wanted was to get to sustain her. Water is very stable for our sustenance. She left that because she found better water. She found a much better water. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and when the pain rocking your body, inside your heart, you can still hear him singing, what a friend I have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. She left it. The man who chased her by night and ran away from her by day, now they were following her to find Jesus. And the woman who didn't want her around, when she got there and brought Jesus to Samaria, they said, let him stay for a while. Because you see, my friends, when Jesus Christ comes in, it's peace unspeakable. It's joy overflowing. When you're 80 years old, I said, like me, and the pain rocking your body, you don't have to worry. I have a better body coming one day. Amen. Where there will be no pain, no sorrow, no tears, nothing to bother this body. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died and he rose the third day that I could have eternal life. And he wants to do the same for you and I. That's why I talk about myself. The pot and all these things that I used to smoke and thing, I don't need that anymore. Because I have Jesus inside. Another thing I want to leave you with. When you turn, you'll have to turn there. You can write these scriptures down. And make sure you start thinking wisely. Because trust me, more than how I sure that all you are sitting here, I'm more sure that there's a true and living God. Because I feel this person inside of me daily. This person talk with me daily. He give me joy daily. He give me peace daily. So if you go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, the word of God says, every last one of us here are brothers and sisters. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, every nation was created by one blood. Look it up for yourself. All of us, whether we're black, whether we're white, whether we're Chinese, whether we are Spanish, whether we are tall, whether we are educated, whether we are dumb, whether we are bright, all of us are the same. Amen. So treat each other good. Take care of each other. You know, I said to my wife, I said, when the pandemic came around, I noticed that she and I was wearing masks. But you know who wasn't wearing a mask? Smoke. You know who smoke is? Our cat. He wasn't afraid of catching COVID. But everyone was isolating themselves. Make sure you have a mask on. Smokey just come and say, I'm hungry. So that tells you that we are all brothers and sisters. And Jesus says to her, go call your husband. She said, I have none. So this morning, in closing, as I told you, 80 years old, don't want to go too long. In closing, I want you to understand, God loves you, don't matter what. God cares about you, don't matter how ruined your life may be. Don't even think about your sin. Come to Jesus as you are. People says, I have to fix myself up before I come to Jesus. That's the lie of the devil. Because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, without him, we can do nothing. He said, he's the way. He said, he's the truth. He's the life. He said, everything you need, that's what I am, he says. He said, I give you peace. I give you joy. I give you satisfaction. And more than all, not only that I'm giving to you eternal life. And when I give you eternal life, he says to you, you will never, ever perish. Amen. He says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And he proved that with this woman. He says he came to save sinners. That's why he rose from the dead, triumphantly from the dead, that we who are dead could become alive. Because of his triumphantness over the grave. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, in closing. This is why I weep every time I want to preach the word of God. Because I know the grace of God and his mercy. And I see people playing games who say they are Christians. Because I really don't understand who their master is, Jesus Christ. Think of him before the world stood naked on the cross, being whipped on the cross, merciless. The God who made water said, give me a drink of water. They brought him vinegar. The God who holds the life of every individual, allow this person to spit in his face. The God who is the everlasting Father allows people to put him in the grave. And you know something? He did not die for his friends. He died for even the scribes and the Pharisees. The guy on the cross who cursed him out, he died for him. Judas, who went and hung himself, he died for him if he had repented. Every sinner that you can think about, the prostitute, the murderer, the thief, the whatever you want to call them, all who you toss in the trash can, Jesus died for them. And he says to her, go call your husband. And you have to say to him, I have no husband. You tell him the truth, who you are, that he can enter your heart and give you salvation. And when he gives you salvation, you will live forever because God lives forever. Amen. Pastor Gary, come and bring me a bottle of water, please. Where's he at? Thank you. You see that? He's helping me in my Bible.
Stand and join us as we sing, May the Mind of Christ My Savior.
You know, as we stop and we think about the woman at the well, every one of us was the woman or the man at the well without Jesus. We all had a lot of mess in our lives, and we had a sin debt that we could never pay unless we died for all of eternity and spent it away from God. So I want to encourage, if there's anybody here today that really doesn't have that relationship with God, you know, we sang about it. You know, God's goodness, God runs after us. And he's running after you if you don't have Jesus today. And I want to encourage you, speak to someone today if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The second thing I want to say is this. All of us would have took the bypass or the beltway around Samaria. That would be our will. But Jesus took the road straight in to reach the people that needed him. And I want to encourage us, we are the salt and the light, because Jesus is now at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we go back into our neighborhoods and the places that God's called us, we're not taking the beltway or the byway around the bad places. We're going in to make them known that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the mind of Christ that we have to adopt. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, dear God, that there was a woman at the well, and she found the living water. And I pray, dear God, if there's anyone here, Lord, that has that thirst for eternal life, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you. And I pray, dear God, that each one of us, Lord, who has that spring welling up inside us, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to go to whoever it is, wherever they are, that they might hear the truth, that salvation is possible because there's a God who loves us. Father, work in our hard hearts. Father, I just pray that you would help us as we go unto our Jerusalem, our Judea, even this week, that we would see people, Lord, that need Jesus, and that we would share the great hope that we have with them. Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I'm going to ask